This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is off this week. I'm Bob Garfield.
My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing. But I can't say that I'm sorry for listening to him and standing there.
The MAGA kid, Nicholas Sandman, the not especially remorseful centerpiece of a week-long national nervous breakdown. In a moment, some thoughts about where that episode has left us. You already know how it began. The stare down between the high school student and the Native elder was everywhere.
Newly elected Congresswoman Deb Haaland is among the first Native Americans elected to Congress, and she reacted on Twitter, writing, "This veteran put his life on the line for our country. The student's display of blatant hate, disrespect, and intolerance is a signal of how common decency has decayed under this administration. Heartbreaking."
The mainstream media quick reaction force was led by the Associated Press, which reported that the kids were jeering at Phillips and further passed along an accusation that moments earlier, the boys had been, quote, heckling a couple of black men nearby. The headline for that story in the Chicago Tribune was, "Catholic high school students in MAGA hats mock Native American after D.C. rally."
Look at some of these headlines. The Hollywood Reporter: students in Make America Great Again hats mock Native Americans after Washington rally. CNN: teens in Make America Great Again hats taunted a Native American elder at the Lincoln Memorial. Vox: white students in MAGA gear crash the Indigenous People's March and harass participants.
The media outrage even got, shall we say, proactive. GQ's Nathaniel Friedman tweeted that the Covington kids should be doxxed.
And my CNN colleague Kirsten Powers tweeted at the school's superintendent, "What are you going to do about this, Superintendent Mike Kleins? This is absolutely contrary to Catholic teaching, and you know it. Do something. Also, these boys need a better education. You are failing them."
Of course, people fulminated. It was just another reminder of how low we have sunk. There was this whole mob of poster children for arrogant, intolerant, white privilege and oppression. And on social media and TV, wherever you looked, trigger warning, that smirk. Then, other footage emerged, not so close up, but far more revealing, capturing the preceding few minutes and with a wider view. The kids had been under verbal attack in the vilest imaginable language from a group of Hebrew Israelites, identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a black supremacist group that takes a Westboro Baptist Church approach to protesting its version of biblical prophecy.
"A bunch of child molesting
look at all these dusty crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty crackers. That's right.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
The biggest terrorists on the face of this earth is the pale-faced man, woman, and child."
Whether they were unnerved or amused, the kids responded by doing school cheers. Not build a wall, school cheers. That's when the video shows Native elder Nathan Phillips walking toward the boys, not the opposite. Oh, and the kids were mobbed together because they were waiting for a bus. Oh, and Elder Phillips' account of what he saw doesn't square with the video. And Phillips, in a conversation with NPR's David Green, acknowledged that he thought, based on 2 years of Trumpism news, that the MAGA-adorned white kids were a threat to the black protesters.
"You saw this group of black Hebrew Israelites as potentially in danger by this large group of white men based on what you had seen in the news in our country in recent months and years?
Yes. Thank you for that clarity, because that's what it was in my mind and in my heart.
All of the above is what comes of Twitter-style mediation. It doesn't leave much room or time for nuance or reflection. What it's really handy for is certainty, a ruinous glut of certainty. And so, very, very soon, on all platforms, America was playing the gold-dress-blue-dress identity game. As Julie Irwin Zimmerman wrote for Atlantic, quote, "Tell me how you first reacted, and I can probably tell where you live, who you voted for in 2016, and your general take on a list of other issues." Meanwhile, The Washington Post and other news organizations ran corrections. New York Times columnist Kara Swisher deleted a tweet in which she said she wanted to find, quote, "every one of these blank kids and give them a very large piece of my mind." And apologetic celebrities copped to rushing to judgment. This is Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar on The View.
Why do we keep making the same mistake?
Because we're desperate to get Trump out of office. That's why.
Not everybody.
The mea culpa sparked yet another wave of revulsion, not just in harem-scarem social media, but in the supposedly deliberate press, where commentators castigated those so indecent as to, in the face of new context, reevaluate their first reactions. Now freshly irate hot takes burned through screens everywhere. In Deadspin, writer Laura Wagner called out the apologetic by name, informing them not only were they wrong in their judgments about what they saw in the additional footage, but they were apologists for the evil apparatus that MAGA represents. Quote, "I don't see how you could watch this and think otherwise unless you're willing to gaslight yourself and others in the service of granting undeserved sympathy to the privileged." Vox brought in author and education professor Adam Howard, who has written a book about privilege and affluent education, and who evidently can divine intention and motivation from facial expressions. The MAGA kid's smirk, he said, quote, "communicates I'm better than you. I don't even have enough respect for you to even say anything to communicate, but I will communicate everything I need through my body language." On such evidence, 17th century Salem women were hanged as witches. Maybe most startling was a Slate piece beneath a headline declaring that the MAGA kids, quote, "aren't innocent victims." Following a rigorous examination of the ambiguous video evidence, Ruth Graham concludes that we mustn't, quote, "let the complexities of the scene at the Lincoln Memorial dissuade us from telling the truth about who Trump is and exactly what he stands for." I'm sorry, isn't the truth about Trump pretty well documented every single day without pinning it on a bunch of high school kids? Meanwhile, the whole episode absolutely obscured the realities of Trumpism and instead opened the press up to charges of bias and even vigilantism.
In the mind of your average reporter in Washington, these kids are from a different country. Less than that, actually. They're from a hostile country, a place we must subdue for our own safety.
And there's some there. It's as if the press, in those first few crucial hours, were not just feeding on Twitter, but turning into Twitter, which is to say reflexive, emotional, careless, and shallow, which, as I noted at the outset, is a bad place for this episode to leave us. Because in journalism, there is time to gather evidence. There is time for reflection. There is space for context and nuance. Hot takes last week left behind a hot mess. Look, it's entirely possible that the Covington Catholic High School boys are as loathsome as advertised. But no matter what we assume, we simply do not know. Yes, the society is poisoned with hate and injustice. Yes, our history reeks of abused privilege, impunity, and oppression. But journalism must take care of how and where it imposes that narrative. Rounding up, ganging up on conveniently smirking suspects, that's a mob thing. That's a Twitter thing. That is not us. Coming up, MAGA hats, are they really the new white hood? This is On the Media.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.